Welcome to the Rob and Comrade Show. Rob Sanders.
Hey, what'd you major in college?
Sports marketing.
Comrade Mike Dobreski.
Let's win this thing for America, right?
The Rob and Comrade Podcast.
Welcome into the Rob and Comrade Show, the podcast that divides the Comrade State. I'm Rob Sanders, your host. I represent the Clemson Tigers, your reigning, defending national champions in the sport of football. We are close to football season right now. I'd like to thank my co-host team for participating in the upcoming season, because we all know that their season's going to be a gong show. But I welcome in the comrade, Mike Dobreski. Mike, good evening, sir.
It is great to be here and looking forward to a great Gamecock football season, a stepping stone season. An 8-4 Gator Bowl type of season.
Wait till next year's season.
Where the whole country says, man, Boom is building something, folks.
What?
And I sit back with my cigar.
Boom is building a crap shit.
I told you.
He's not building anything.
I told you.
You know what? Since you want to run your mouth early, we'll start thanking sponsors early. We'll go with Dennis Wilson from DNC Trucking and Transport, who is watching on Facebook Live tonight.
Triggered.
We'll give the floor over to Dennis Wilson, and he has the No Spin Zone segment with the comrade. Comrade, read away.
It sucks to be a Gamecock. Clemson is my national champion. I am the head of the Cootsexuals. Shout out to another Cootsexual. Good Lord. I should have read this first. Shout out to another Cootsexual in Randy Tucker, who has a fitted sheet complete with Gamecock logos for his brotherly meetings. Did you know that Clemson has more wins in Columbia in the football series than South Carolina has in the series overall? Rent is due on our ghetto property. The Tigers will be here to collect it in November and embarrass us for the sixth straight time. Remember, there always sucks to be a Gamecock. Go Tigers.
I should make you read that again, just because you screwed everything up there.
I don't read these beforehand, and like, I saw Randy Tucker's name, and I can't say that with a straight face. I tell you what, he's part of your fan base. There's got to be a way that you can, like, make somebody not be part of your fan base. Like, just say, listen, we're going to pass a law that you cannot buy Gamecock gear. You cannot. You just cannot. I would put that on a bill for the State House, okay, called the Randy Tucker Bill. And good Lord.
Good poor Randy Lord. Tucker. Well, that's what you get. You should read those beforehand. I mean, that would be good for you.
But... Well, I like to kind of be surprised a little bit. But sometimes I laugh too hard, but yeah, that was bad.
That's actually very well written, sir. You should be thankful for that. Let's thank our patrons, Lawton Swan of Clemson Sports Talk, the Czar of Clemson Sports, coming to Charleston tomorrow, spreading the Clemson Sports Talk virus, as Lawton Swan will be on the air in Charleston tomorrow. Proud of my brother there. Thomas Dana Young, Kaylee Wanley, Keith Harrelson, Kevin Willis, Jamie Phillips, Tabitha Sims, Robert Knight, Positive Mike, Lisa Sister Harkin. She's watching online tonight. Also, Jeff Pritchett, we appreciate you guys for checking out the show. We have a couple of other sponsors I want to talk about real quick, including Callaway's Bar and Grill out in West Columbia. Highway 1, diagonal from the Walmart. Go there and check them out. They have the best wings, the coldest beer, the best people, and the Carolina Clash coming up in July 23rd, I think is the date for the Carolina Clash. If you play Golden Tee Golf, you got to get involved in this. A very, very, very cool event. It is so cool to go play Golden Tee at the only Golden Tee Lounge that I know of. That is at Callaway's Bar and Grill, Highway 1, diagonal from the Walmart. Callaway'sBarandGrill.com. You can also find them on Facebook as well. And we have Single Dad Lawn Care. Jamie Hendricks can fix your yard. If your yard looks terrible, Jamie Hendricks can fix it. If you don't want to cut your grass in this 100-degree heat, Jamie Hendricks will come cut your grass. It's simple. Go to RobinComrade.com, click on Single Dad Lawn Care, get up with Jamie. He'll take care of your yard. Your yard looks like crap one minute, Jamie Hendricks comes to your house and fixes it the next minute. Boom, you're done. There you go. Single Dad Lawn Care. We appreciate Jamie for checking out the show and believing in the show. So it's really cool to have folks that, because we've been at this for 2 years now, Mike. Have you noticed that?
Yep. That's about 2 years, yep.
No, it's right at 2 years. I got something today that reminded me of that.
Tweeting us their resumes. So, and listen, if you want to get a job and want your resume read on air, well, you can just sponsor that way too. Well, we're here to find people jobs as well.
By the way, we don't talk about this enough, but if you're on Twitter, you should follow the Comrade on Twitter. He is at the Pesky Pole. You can also follow me on Twitter. I'm at Rob Sounds Good. The two of us trade shots back. The Comrade pissed somebody off so bad the other day that they posted their resume online because, you know, that's how I win a pecker contest. I tell you where I went to freaking school. That's what I do. You may think you're smart, Comrade, but I have a degree from here and a master's from there, and I went to law school over there. So, I drive a massive truck because I have to compensate, and then I have my degrees posted inside my truck. That's what I thought reading the stuff that Clemson fans were posting at the Comrade. Clemson fans.
So how it starts is, you know, on my Twitter feed, you're going to get a lot of baseball stuff, a lot of baseball nerd stuff. I do these, you know, out of the park baseball stuff. I'm not going to get into it, but I do simulation stuff, so I post things on there. So that's like 40% of my tweets. And right. Then about 30% of my tweets is trolling Clemson fans and just like tweeting out, you know, hey. And of course, what happens is I have lots of people who are Clemson fans who follow me on Twitter, which is funny. It's fine. But then they'll sit there and say, all you do is tweet about Clemson. And the other day I tweeted something. I actually responded to Larry Williams, I think.
Yeah.
And he quote tweeted me. So I knew as soon as I saw that, I go, my mentions are dead. Like I'm gonna like I put my phone down and I did something. I had to take my kid somewhere. And I put my phone back up. I had like 85 mentions. Like, you think you piss us off? Obviously.
Shout out to a couple of folks in the Facebook group, including our buddy Dennis Wilson, says, wait a minute, I drive a massive truck. Yes, but you drive a massive truck for a purpose. You're not driving a massive truck to your law office where you're an attorney.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
And just to clear something up right now, Dennis Wilson, okay, has a doppelganger out there, but it's not him. He is not the former principal of Chapin High School. That was not him. I saw the picture quick. I posted. That was not him.
That's
Dennis Wilson, owner of DNC Trucking. Right. He does have a twin. I mean, like if you squint kind of quick, it's not totally Dennis Wilson. If you squint quick, I won't tell you that Chapin High School principal did. But good Lord,
my goodness!
But that was like I saw that picture. I go, that kind of looks like Dennis Wilson. Like kind of, you know, if you look close. But
what?
Yeah, Google that story. What in the world? The high school principal is caught going into the cars of his students and stealing stuff. That's what he was caught doing.
Yeah. I don't know what you want from me on that. That's
I don't know. I just saw the picture.
That's pretty crazy.
Like a little bit, so I thought I'd give him a hard time.
Yeah. Oh man. Well, yeah, there you go. Some other news. Can Single Dad Lawn Care make a Belt Bowl end zone so Gamecocks can finally enter one? It's a good question from David. I have to get to Jamie on that. Keith says, I drive a 98 Honda Passport and don't give a shit. Thanks for that, Keith. Thanks for being a part of the show. Yeah, so anyway. So I thought tonight we'd open up with a couple of things. What you got, Mike? What?
Dennis and I drive the same vehicle, by the way. We both have, you know, for a family vehicle, we both have the same issues with it. We both get water in the damn water gets into the freaking doors. Like you hear it sloshing around.
Dennis drilled holes in his door.
Yeah,
that's an absolute fact.
Yeah, so
Dennis,
you know,
can you see Dennis out there with a drill? Hey, honey, there's water in the door. I'm gonna go freak it. These are my friends.
We took that to the Clemson trip. We took that, and I said I got the same car, you know. And he goes, "Does your car do this?" I was like, "Yeah." So now, whenever it rains and I close my door and open it, I hear the sloshing around. I think of Dennis Wilson. I say, you know what? Somewhere in Swansea right now, Dennis Wilson's hearing the sloshing around too because it just rained yesterday. So, you know.
Well, a couple of things. One, we have over to my left here, Mexico and the United States in the Gold Cup final. A bunch of players that I know nothing about, but Mexico is currently leading 1-0. I am personally going to email President Trump and tell him, what the hell is going on? Why can't you get this wall up so these Mexicans will stop beating our ass? What is wrong with you, Mr. President? Get to work, sir.
We need a wall in front of our goal so they can't score.
Exactly. Can we build that piece of the wall first? I'll contribute a couple of bucks to that. All right, let's talk about some real football. Steve Spurrier's back in the news, Mike. Did you hear about this?
I'm not sure.
So, Mike Griffin of... You might have. What?
Okay, go ahead. Here, go ahead.
So, Mike Griffin of DogNation.com caught up with Steve Spurrier, and they talked a little bit about the playoffs. And Spurrier says, I'm a proponent of sending eight teams to it, to tell you the truth. But four is better than two, like they used to do. I guess it's pretty good, but I certainly don't like committees determining the champs. We're the only sport in the world that still does that. That will probably not get me on the committee ever, but that's okay. Some pointed things there. From the old visor there. He says, I told somebody the other day, talking about the SEC championship game, the first one in 92. Of course, I told our guys, we're going to try to win our division, and then we're going to get a chance to play for the championship. We don't have to worry about anybody voting or any committee selecting us to play in that game. So let's try to win the division and go from there. We like that. And then after that, they told you that what bowl game you go to. And if you were the SEC champ, you usually went to the Sugar Bowl. That's one thing I liked about the championship games. So he kind of compared it to that. But basically, he just kind of pissed on the college football playoff in a round and about way. But he wants to expand it, according to the visor, to 8 games. Do you think that's viable or not, Mike?
I think it's going that way. I mean, he's right. I mean, the football is the only non-NCAA-run championship. That's why I tease Clemson fans so far. But, like, you know, it's not the NCAA. The NCAA has a playoff system. And even college basketball, there's a committee that selects the 68 teams.
Right.
But there are, like, automatic kind of, like, things to get you in there. You win your conference, you're in, and so forth.
Right.
But it's still a 68 team, so it's like, it's not like the committee, you bitch about the committee because your team 69 and thought you should have been in there, you know. The baseball, college baseball thing, so same thing, 64 teams. I mean, you complain about that stuff too, but it is a point that they kind of do that, you know. Going back to what we talked before, I'm all for just making it real simple. Now listen, there's two sides to this. My way is, every conference, okay, small conference, big conference, every conference, if you win your conference title, you go to the playoffs, okay? Mm-hmm. And then what you can do from there, if it's like an odd number of teams, like 10 teams, 11, whatever it is, how many conferences you have, you can do it where you rank the conference champions. The committee can rank them. That's their job. They rank them, and of course, you're going to have the first two or three teams might have a bye and so forth. That way, if you win your conference championship, you're in.
Right.
Okay. And so, to do it that way. So, I'm like something like that where you know what to do to get in. The bad part about that is, though, you know, what makes college football a great part of it is to argue about, you know, where your team should be. And if you just simply do it by conference champions, there's no argument because, well, we beat you in the conference title game, so you're not going in there. As opposed to the committee selecting two teams from the SEC, and you're a Big Ten team, and you go, well, the SEC is a bias and all this stuff here. We got screwed, and so that part which makes college football great in terms of the sports radio and the arguments and the trash talk pages, all those things too. But if you wanted to make a model where you have to earn it to get there, you just simply say you got to win your conference to get there. And if you don't win your conference, then you know, whatever it is. And so, do it that way.
With that theory, though, I mean, we have the Power Five conference champions. I mean, and you know what? I've been on board in saying that. I think you need to win your conference title to have an opportunity to play for the national championship. But under that logic, Alabama would not have won, not last year, but the year before.
Mm-hmm. So, well, I'm just saying, if you do it that way, here's what I think people want to see. I think they want to see the small school, the pick your small school out there, from the AAC that wins their conference.
How about UCF?
Yeah, UCF go up against Clemson the first round. Now, 99% of the time, the Clemson team or the team that the favorite, the one seed, the two seed, is going to pound them, right? But maybe you have every 5 years that magical night where they knock them off and prove they belong, you know? And that's kind of what makes March Madness so great. And it won't be as much as March Madness. Basketball is a different sport. The three-point line really narrows the gap of talent, okay? The three-point line is a great equalizer in college basketball. And so those small teams, those small schools can play with the big schools.
Right.
But what makes March Madness so great is the fact of the upsets, is the fact that you have upsets, but in the end, usually the big dogs are still left, you know, playing for the title. So I think, you know, if you did it with football, I think that would appeal to a lot of people seeing those games. And even though most of the games be 44-10, okay, or whatever it is, you might have that one where all of a sudden they come out there and play their game to life, and another the tour seed kind of overlooks them, all of a sudden you have a big upset. So I think if you can kind of do it that way, and it won't cheapen the regular season, if you make it conference champions, and maybe you have like maybe two wild cards. If you want to do it that way, you know, but that way it doesn't cheapen the regular season because you have to win your conference. Now, right. The only thing it would do is it cheapens the out-of-conference games, because now suddenly, you know, the out-of-conference games, you're not worried about schedule strength. Okay, I guess you can do that for rankings-wise. I guess you play a tougher schedule, so if you win your conference, you get a better ranking, get a bye. You can do it that way. But you know, so that way it makes the conference season really, really important, and doesn't cheapen it at all. So I think they'll go there eventually. They'll have eight teams eventually, I think. I mean, I think that's a no-brainer. Right. Just how they go about doing it's the question. I think what they'll probably do, if I had to guess, they'll probably go eight teams, and the Power Five champions all get automatic bids. And what they'll do is the other three teams, the committee will select. Is what my guess is.
And I think that's probably close, but there's going to be a bias towards Notre Dame. There always is.
Yeah, well, Notre Dame is going to have to be the team that fights for the third spot, one of the three spots, I guess, or join a conference. You know, the other thing, too, is they may, this was talk a few years ago, it's died down now, well, the conference movement, is to have these 16-team super conferences where you have, you know, where Notre Dame in this scenario would join a conference and have a 16-team, like four conference, 16-team type of deal. And, you know, that was talked about, too, with the whole NCAA. Basically, those conferences basically telling the NCAA to go, you know what, and we'll go ahead and we don't need you. And we're going to have these four conferences, these 16 teams, and these 64 teams total, and we're going to go ahead and crown our own champion, and we're going to change up the rules and all those things, too, and kind of get away from the NCAA. And then they have a separate championship for the non-power conference team. So...
yeah, I mean, that kind of makes sense. And to kind of wrap this up, I think that I like the idea of the College Football Playoff Committee should, in my opinion, be four guys. And or four. I like the idea of sending the legends up there to do it. Why can't Phil Fulmer's the athletic director now, right? I don't like the athletic directors being there, but Steve Spurrier can look at a football team and tell, all right, this is a good football team. Now, I like that idea. Bill Snyder from Kansas State, that might be a good way to go. Bob Stoops would be somebody that I think should be on the playoff committee. I don't like the idea of having 12 people there. Just put those four guys in a room. Make sure Steve doesn't get any Steve Weisers before he goes in. And tell them, look, you got 30 minutes. Tell us who the hell you think the top team in the country is. Give us the top four, and then that's it. Now, I'm also in the camp of getting rid of this whole thing where they released their first set of rankings, like, on Halloween, and then they update it every week. That's a pile of crap. Release them the week before, and then the week of. That's it. Those two, and that's it. But anyway.
Well, yeah, I mean, they do it for TV, and it's stupid because what happens is they rank them, and they have to kind of explain their rankings. So what happens is they go, well, you dropped this team, they didn't win, but you're going, well, I'm choosing the four best teams. But this team, you know, you had them ranked here in week seven, and then, see, that whole thing doesn't happen. The college basketball does not do that. College basketball doesn't come out, you know, every week and give you their 64 teams, right? Oh, here's our 64 teams. Right now, the Gamecocks are a five seed. And then go, wait a minute, how they're a four seed now, you know, they come out when it's time. I think the same thing. We all can use our own brains to figure out where these teams might be right during the season. The AP rankings and the power rankings. There's all kinds of ways that we rank teams now and all these websites. We can get a pretty good idea of who is in contention for the four spots come playoff time. And so right. I think it would make it even better, okay, forget the weekly shows. You have one show, end of the year. It's like the NCAA does, so the basketball does. Here it is. Here's your four teams. And they have to explain themselves. They'll go, well, you had them ranked. No, this is what we had. Here's our four best teams.
Here's our four best teams. You know, well, and let Steve Spurrier do the press conference. Because he'll walk in and just say, yep, these are the four. Well, deal with it. And then
what
walk
I hate
out.
About
That's
college football,
do.
Okay, college football is the only sport where the postseason is worse than the regular season. Okay? The NFL, what do you look forward to? The postseason, right? Playoff game.
Right.
Playoff game in Green Bay, December.
Right.
Back when the Bills had were a team. Oh, you got to go to Buffalo in the
Shut
cold,
up.
Okay? Oh, you got to go to New Orleans on
yeah.
the dome.
All right.
The Saints don't lose in the dome, okay? College football, I hate the neutral site games. I get the bowl games. Still have the bowl games like the Rose. I understand the bowl games. You go on a vacation with your team and last year the game. The playoff games should be on campus. And that's the big thing is did you do enough to get a home game in the playoffs? I think it'd be unreal to watch a playoff game on campus, okay? If Clemson gets to one seed, all of a sudden, I mean, imagine. Last year, Clemson was a one seed, correct? Against Bama? Correct me now.
No, one or two I think there were two.
They're two, okay.
Because Alabama was one.
Yeah, okay. So but the year before, when Clemson lost, they were the one seed.
They were the one, and Alabama was the four.
Okay. All right. So imagine that game there. Bama up in Clemson, night game in January, okay? I mean, imagine.
That would be awesome, and that is something that you would never see because Alabama doesn't schedule home and homes.
But that's scheduled, but it's a playoff game. Sorry, you're the four seed. I really think if they go to eight or even the four, my thing is campus games. Because, one, it's not fair to the fans have to travel. You have to travel and pay all this money to go see your team. Okay, it's the idea of you earned a home. How big would that be to earn a home game? How big would it be to make the regular season games? If the Clemson's playing the Gamecocks, and now they can't have if they could beat Carolina and not look good, they're trying to get a home game. They're trying to, hey, you know, we're going to make the playoffs, but we got to be impressive because we want that home game. Okay. I think it makes the regular season even better. So you have all the bowl games. Still keep the Rose Bowl and the Orange Bowl. Have the teams, whatever the playoffs go to them, that's fine. But the playoff games, I say put them on campus. Imagine, because Big Ten teams complain about this all the time. Big Ten fans, oh, you couldn't play up here in the cold. So imagine if Ohio State gets a home game.
Yeah.
And suddenly, pick your team. The Florida Gators, okay, have to go up to Columbus, you know, December 28th for the first round playoff game, okay?
Yeah.
And give a snow game. I mean, like the NFL is great because the playoffs, because of the weather or the lack of weather. You play in a dome and it's loud, all this stuff. In college football, it's just real stale. And it's like it's nothing like earlier season. I don't really look forward. I mean, part of it because my Gamecocks aren't playing in it, but I'm sure if the Gamecocks are playing, I look forward to it. But still, just from a sports fan aspect, the playoff games are not as fun to watch as a game in week 8 when you've got all these, say, great games going on, right? And we do our picks, and you got Florida playing, you know, Georgia, and you've got Clemson going against FSU, and Michigan, you know, is playing, you know, I like, you have all these games because part of it is the campus. Oh, they're on the road. You know, I think it just takes it away. I think the sport gets worse in the postseason. The only sport like that. And so I think
I
they need to fix that too.
The majority of the stuff you said there. I got a couple of things we're going to get into today. Josh Kendall, who, by the way, is leaving the state newspaper. I don't know if you heard about that or not, Mike. But Josh Kendall is leaving. You did?
I heard. Yesterday I heard it. Yeah. I don't know where he's going, but I heard he's leaving.
Yeah, he's leaving the state newspaper. By the way, for the folks that don't know, Josh Kendall is the Gamecock beat writer for the state newspaper, a guy who does an absolutely monumental job and is respected in the industry. It's sad to see him go. But one of his final articles with the state was talking about how the media will pick the SEC East and how he thinks the media is going to pick the SEC East. And he's got in first place, he thinks that the writers are going to pick Georgia. And I think he's right. Would you agree on that?
Well, yeah, they're big favorites, yeah.
In second, he's got Florida.
Yep, yeah, that's probably about right.
I think we both agree on that. In third, they've got Missouri. He thinks the writers will pick Missouri.
Yeah, I don't see that. I mean, they might, but I don't see that happening.
Okay, well, I'm asking you what the writers would
pick. I don't know why the writers would think that, though, either.
Well, and to be completely honest, I don't necessarily agree with that because generally, this is not going to be in Atlanta like it was last year. They're going back into the land of the toothless in Alabama. And they, trust me, the 3,000 people that'll have credentials there, which, by the way, you give people, you give Clemson crap for credentials up there. Go to SEC Media Days. It is a show. I mean, you've got Brother Bob, who writes for a calendar that gets credentials from the SEC to go to Media Days. It's an absolute joke. But they always pick Missouri to finish last. Even the years that Missouri won the East, they were picked to finish last or next to last. But Josh Kendall says he thinks the Riders will pick Missouri. And he says the addition of Kelly Bryant and a surprisingly competent first year out of offensive coordinator Derek Dooley have led to some optimism about the Tigers. I don't really have a lot of confidence in Derek Dooley, but I do have confidence in Larry Roundtree. I do have confidence in Kelly Bryant. I think that's a heck of a combination there. Missouri's got, I think, 4 offensive line starters back. So I don't know if I'd pick them to finish third. But
well, listen, yeah, I wouldn't do that. I think the press, the writers will take Tennessee because everyone's on Tennessee's taint, as you say.
Oh, hold on. So, hold on. I'm getting to that. I'm getting to that. Just Calm your beard, brother.
I'm just saying who's going to go third. I think the Riders will pick Tennessee third.
Third, they pick Missouri is what he thinks the Riders are going to pick. Fourth, he thinks they're going to pick Kentucky. And I know that chaps a lot of Gamecock ass.
Well, I mean, I don't see that either. But
okay, I'm reading you the article. This is not my thoughts.
Once you're done, I'm going to give you my bold prediction.
Let me finish here. Okay. Holy crap, dude. You get so upset right now. I know deep in your heart you're praying, oh, my God, I hope we go 8-4.
I can't
you're
wait.
You're not going 8-4. It's going to be
the season. I don't want the season to end.
It's going
to
be
the
great.
To be vindicated. I
you're not
going to
be vindicated
this year.
You're not going to be
vindicated. Vindication is coming.
It's
and
not
I'm going to mock taters like
you're
you wouldn't believe
shit.
When the vindication
make
comes.
Sure
I've
your
got
ass shows up.
Screenshots and screenshots.
Make sure your ass shows up when you go fucking
when
4-8.
I how we show up. Vindication is coming.
If you go 4-8, will you show up?
I'm going to tell you right now.
What?
Here's my bold prediction.
Okay.
The Gamecocks will finish ahead of Now, this could mean they're tied, but they beat him, okay? But in terms of standings, okay?
Okay.
They'll finish ahead of in the standings.
Hold on. Lisa says embarrassment coming again. Here it comes.
They will finish ahead of the standings. That's the East.
Okay.
It might be a tiebreaker, but ahead, okay?
All right, I'm listening.
Ahead of both Tennessee and Kentucky. Mark it down. Mark it down.
Big bold prediction there, comrade.
Now, they might end up with the same record as one of those two teams,
big,
but they'll
bold
beat
prediction
them
there,
to,
comrade.
Be, to be ahead of them.
Congratulations.
So, ahead of. So, before we make it clear now, because I can see it happening, we're tied with conference record, one of them, but we beat them head to head. That means we're ahead of them. You'll agree with that, Rob? If you're both 5-3 in the conference, but you beat them, you're ahead of them.
You're not.
Agree with that?
You're not going 5-3. But if you go 3-5,
but
you have a head to head
win. Will you agree? If say we're 5-3 and Tennessee's 5-3, we beat them, we're ahead of them in the standings. Correct?
Yep.
Okay, I'm just making sure because we'll go. Oh, no, that's not ahead of them.
I never said that.
I'm talking about your fan base.
Okay,
like Lisa, people like that, and so forth.
No.
People like, oh yeah.
Oh my God.
Ahead of in the standings, Tennessee and Kentucky. Ahead of the standings.
Michael wants to know, how about Mizzou? You want to go for the trifecta
and think you'll finish ahead of them? I'm not sure.
Because
if
you do that, you're guaranteeing the Gamecocks will finish third in the East because Vanderbilt's a shit show.
You know what? I think we're going 5-3. Okay? I've already said that. So 5-3
Holy
is going to get you normally kind of in that third place range. Now, what's going to happen is you're going to probably tie with the team at 5-3. So it depends if you beat the team you tied with, correct? You'll go with that, right? 5-3 usually puts you about third in the SEC.
Maybe tied for third. Yeah,
usually
why not?
Tied for third. Right. Sometimes you win it. I mean, the Gamecocks won 5-3 one year. So 5-3, they'll be right there. I could see them maybe being tied with Missouri at 5-3. Maybe Missouri beats us, though, and so they get the nod. But, yeah, so I think we'll be in that third or tie for third range, in that range.
Okay, well, there you go. But you guarantee the two, but you're not willing to
I'm
put
guaranteeing
Missouri.
We're ahead of time. First of all, we're going to beat them both. Okay, we're beating them both, and we'll be 5-3 in the conference, so we'll be ahead of them.
I love how you think you're just gonna go on the
Kentucky
road and beat Tennessee.
And Tennessee are, first of all, Kentucky and Tennessee aren't going 6-2, and they're losing us. Okay, so they'll be ahead of us, behind us. Mark it down. 5-3.
Oh, God, you're so stupid. Anyway, let's finish up with Josh Kendall's piece here. He thinks that Kentucky will be the Riders pick to finish fourth. He likes Tennessee as the Riders pick to finish fifth. And then he thinks the Riders pick will be South Carolina to finish sixth and Vanderbilt to round out the SEC East. So in the minds of the Riders, the people that suck the SEC penis that we hear so much about, oh man, if Clemson had to play Alabama's schedule, they would be so bad. Those people, they think that you're going to finish 2-6, I guess, maybe 3-5 in conference play. Your thoughts on that?
Well, that's the writers, okay?
Yep.
That's their opinion. That's fine. And once again, as I said before, I can't wait to be vindicated. Mm. Because here's the thing. All this stuff you're telling me right now, all you're doing is building my case for me. Because here's what's going to happen. This is what you're going to do. This is a Rob Sanders technique, okay? When we go 8-4, you will minimize it. You will minimize the achievement. You'll say, oh, 8-4, you're happy about that? Oh, I mean, it was a big stretch.
That's completely not true.
I'm going to point to you saying it's impossible. I'm going to point to all of the writers say. I'm going to point to all these comments in this room right now. Laughing out loud. Look at all the emojis. We got tears coming down. 5-3, tears coming down. But I guarantee
it's funny as fuck.
When we go 5-3, these people go, well, I kind of had a feeling, you know. I mean, I had you 4-4, but I kind of thought you might go 5-3 in the conference. I kind of thought you might. That's what you always do. The year we went 8-4 2 years ago, it was the same thing. You all made four and eight jokes. We go 8-4. Well, I mean, honestly, I don't think Mushroom did that good of a job because I kind of had a feeling.
Mike, let's slow down for just a second
so
here, okay?
I am speaking the truth.
Okay.
2 years ago, that's what happened. In the rooms that happened.
Why don't we talk about some other things here, though? First of all, last year I picked your team perfectly.
Yes, you did.
I did.
The year before, you were badly wrong.
You missed. But.
We're going to minimize it now. Hold on, I'm not minimizing anything.
Okay. I did congratulate the Gamecocks for going 9-4. I don't have a problem with that. You also fail to forget that I congratulate the Gamecocks when they do other things, like going to the Final Four. That's a big deal. Winning the women's national title in basketball. That's a big deal. When you do something that is relevant, I don't have a problem bringing that up. It's not a problem at all.
My point is, the reality is that your football team, the people in this room.
No. You said point blank, this is a Rob Sanders thing.
You do.
I don't
you say?
Put down the University of South Carolina unless they give me an absolute reason
minimized.
To.
What was your thing? You said, what? Well, I was wrong, but I didn't realize you're going to play so many tire fires.
No. Mike, look, come on now.
You didn't say that? You didn't say that.
I did say that. I completely did say that, and I stand
by
that.
That's called minimizing.
Because, hold on,
but
the first thing that you do is that you said, why didn't you listen to me at the beginning of the season? Because I told you that there would be tire fires.
That came out of your mouth.
Under that logic, you said that, right?
I said that.
Okay, good.
Well, that doesn't matter.
All right, now stop.
You guys are horrible.
Under that logic, you cheapen your own argument there because you just said you played tire fires.
Well, 2 years
and that's
ago,
how you went 8-4.
Thanks for playing, sir. Our team was a very talented talent. So I pointed to you why it was going to happen. And you
everybody
said.
Everybody saw that on Facebook.
How do you even think that? And I said,
yep.
This is how.
He just got his ass handed to him on the show. Yep.
We had a show.
Now I'm laughing at you.
Hold on. I said 8-4 is a possibility, and I pointed out why. I pointed out tire fires. And you laughed and said, "This is why we laugh at delusional coots." And of course, we go 8-4. You go, "Well, man, I didn't realize you're gonna be playing tire fires."
I didn't, and I stand by that.
And that's called minimizing it.
I should have listened to you. I should have listened to you.
And you should listen to me now.
And minimize.
Right now,
well, wait a minute.
I
last
speak
year,
the truth.
Last year, you were talking about you got. You said you were on the camp. You were going 9-3 last year, Mike.
No, I did not say 9-3.
Yes, you did.
I did not say 9-3.
At one point, you did.
And I did not say 9-3.
You had 9-3 or 8-4 was one of the.
I think I had 8-4. I have to go back and look.
Okay. Did you go 8-4 last year?
No, we didn't.
Okay. So I should listen to you from 2 years ago, but not listen to you
from last year. I'll do my rock thing. I didn't realize we're going to have half our defense injured.
Okay. Well, injuries are part of the game, Mike.
I know that. Now, I think if you go back to our prediction
coach is getting fired or not.
Okay. But all I want you to do now, I want you to verify this when it happens, okay? Because what's going to happen in this room, we go 8-4, these same people are going to sit here and say, "Well, I kind of thought you might." It's not a big shock to me.
Do you have a pen? Do you have a pen over there where you can write something down? Over there in your little area over there?
I don't. Right,
so,
I don't
well,
know.
You should get a pen. Or better yet, I tell you what, Lisa's watching over here on Facebook Live. Document this for me so that the comrade will have it. It's 11:19 on July 7th of 2019. I have no problem putting out there the Gamecocks will not go 8-4. It is not possible. Mark that down, and Lisa is honest, and she'll come back and tell you if I was wrong. And you know what? I will apologize if I am wrong because I don't have a problem doing that. I don't have a problem doing that, okay?
We're losing to Georgia, we're losing to A&M, and we're losing to Bama. Those were our three conference losses.
Okay, and you're losing to Clemson with that too, right?
More than likely, yes.
Okay, because you said you're going 8-4, so either you're losing to Clemson, Charleston Southern, App State, or UNC.
Listen, let's put this way. If we lose to App State, I'd be worried if I were you because that means we're going to beat you.
Get the fuck out of here.
Okay.
You're so stupid.
So if I were you, I put on your App State hat because we're going 8-4. And so if App State beats us, you're screwed.
Mike, I'm not trying to be combative with you, but understand football is a very interesting sport. If you look at the early lines with South Carolina, You're only favored by 6.5 points over North Carolina in some books out in Las Vegas right now. Now, I think that they're buying into the Mac Brown theory of, oh, Mac Brown can do this, Mac Brown can do that.
That's the pick of the year right there. Easy.
I think the Gamecocks are going to win that game. I could be wrong.
They're going to slap
because,
them around,
I mean,
too.
let's be honest. They can Gamecock us like they've done before, you know, where we had Gamecock fans in this group, which, by the way, a lot of them have gone. The ones that we're talking about, we're playing Virginia. This is a fucking joke. Ah! Yeah, remember those people? The ones, you know, you still haven't scored against Virginia.
I can't wait for vindication.
Well, you're not going to get to play Virginia this year. So, anyway, there's that. By the way, that was what Josh Kendall said that the Riders would pick. His picks are a little different, Mike. I'll read you those right now. He's picking Georgia, Florida, and then he's got the Gamecocks at third, Missouri,
Joshy Kendall,
Kentucky, Tennessee, and then Vanderbilt. So there's that. Real quick here, I will be submitting my at ACC kickoff, which is the equivalent of SEC media days for the ACC. I will be submitting my picks for the Atlantic. Do you want to go over those real quick? Because I think that should I hold those, Mike, until then, or just tell you
I think? Hold it off, yeah.
Okay, well, fine.
I will
we'll
say this. One thing I'm going to do, I'm going to wait till close to the season, though. I'm going to create a questionnaire.
I'm not doing your fucking.
You're
paper,
doing
man.
Yeah, well. I'm going to put yours in because you're going to give the prediction anyway. We're doing the show, so I'll put your name in. Okay, but anyway,
I'm not doing any paperwork.
A questionnaire, and you're going to simply do the following. Okay, you're going to go, and everyone that does it, I want your name. And here's the thing: if you don't do it. I don't want to hear your mouth at the end of the year saying, I said this. No.
I'm on record as saying that you're not going 8-4.
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the fans in here.
Okay.
When they go, I picked. That's what I picked. No. According to the spreadsheet, you didn't fill it out. So you were scared back then. So what you're going to do is this. You're going to, for Clemson, Carolina, you're going to pick your predicted record, what you think will happen. And then you're going to pick your worst case scenario record. All things fall apart, what's the worst they could do? And then you're going to pick the best scenario record. All things come together, ball bounces their way, yada, yada, what's their record? So three records for each team, okay? And I'm going to kind of average them up, and I'm going to do separate ones for Clemson fans and Carolina fans, just kind of see perception-wise how that goes.
Okay.
Okay? And I'm doing this for a reason. But one, I have a record, so when, you know, Johnny, you know, Tater
Mike,
Bash
Mike,
says,
Mike, Mike, yeah. Real talk, how many people do you think are going to fill out anything for you? People want to hit you in the face.
They will.
They will,
because,
how?
Because, well,
I do the show with you, and I'm telling you, I don't want to fill out your paperwork.
Well, I'll put your name in there because
you can put my name in there all you want.
I'm going to ask you our last show for the season starts.
How's that sound?
I'm going to say, what's Clemson's best scenario record? What's their worst scenario record? And I'm just saying, the Gamecocks.
I refuse to answer any questions.
Real quick, let me ask this. So you got the Gamecocks going 6-6, right?
Yep, 6-6.
Okay, what's the worst case scenario for the record?
I'm not filling out paperwork for you.
I'm asking a question right now. I'm not. No paperwork filling out. What's the worst case? So 6-6 is your predicted record. Worst case scenario.
Our worst case is 0-12.
Okay. What's your best case?
6-6.
So basically, you're saying you're predicting their best case scenario. Okay, good. I'll put that down in there.
I told you that is a sarcasm bot there. I don't know how. I'm not giving you a best case scenario of anything. So simple as that. By the way, there was a video simulation that they did. Remember the old NCAA tournaments game where the NCAA football? They had the updated rosters for that. And there's someone on Twitter that you'll appreciate this. They did the simulations with the updated rosters, and then they did just a full simulation on there. My thing is they only did one set of simulations, but they did the whole season. and they let the games play out in real time. They showed you clips of and everything. They had the Gamecocks going 9-3, but here's the funny thing. They win over Alabama. They win over Clemson, but they lose to App State, and they lose to North Carolina in the one simulation that I looked at, which makes you think, okay, it's just a video game. Yeah. But that was actually really funny. Okay, they're going to beat – if I told you you're going to beat Alabama and Clemson, but you're going to lose to North Carolina and – App State. Would you take that?
I would take that. Now, if I knew ahead of time. See, here's the thing, though. If we lose the Tar Heels, that will be so demoralizing to the family. Like, I will worry, like, not that I'm going to hide. I won't hide. But the Muschamp people who hate him will be freaking at his house, okay?
Yeah.
And it'll be demoralizing. Now listen, if you know in advance, if you tell the people, hey, here's the deal. You can beat Bama and Clemson this year, but you got to lose North Carolina by 21. Okay, you got to lose like 21 zip, and you don't get the ball past midfield.
My God, the post would be great.
And you have to lose to App State. You have to lose to App State 24-0. Okay? So 21-0 to the Tar Heels. Okay? And say they came to me. Say the football gods came to me. And say, listen, you can't tell anybody about this deal, but here's what's going to happen, okay? You're going to lose to the Tar Heels 21-0. You will not get the ball past midfield all game long. You're going to lose the game to App State 24-0. You'll be in App State territory for 3 minutes the whole game. However, you're going to beat Bama 38-3 and beat Clemson 35-0. Do you take that deal, or you just roll the season out there? I will take that deal in a heartbeat.
You are so butthurt.
I will take that in a heartbeat.
And listen.
Here's the thing, and I point this out. This is a good discussion I had on the local radio here for Gamecock fans. The people who are crying with the schedule, the Gamecock fans who are like, "Oh, schedule. I'm not looking forward to the season." Look, I don't understand that. I'm excited about the season because of all the potential big games, all the opportunities to get quote unquote signature wins, right? The whole thing, the problem with Muschamp so far, despite him being the most wins in the first 3 years any Gamecock coach, is there's no real signature win. The Michigan game and the bowl game, maybe, but it's a bowl game and you can make the case, well, Michigan might not be there. The Tennessee game when they were ranked, you can make a case that was big, but Tennessee, as we found out, ended up being trash. So there is no real, like, this is your win. This year, there's all kinds of opportunities to get those. Now, he might not get any of them, okay? But if you're thinking, well, he's got chances, all we got to do, and listen, I know you think Gamecocks are trash, this. And any given Saturday, you go and play your A game. The team you're playing plays their B game, like the Georgias, the A&Ms, the Bamas, the Clemsons, and who knows what happens, right?
Right.
And you get the signature win. And
right.
So I would sacrifice an embarrassing loss. What I mean by an embarrassing loss is an embarrassing loss would be the Tar Heels, the App State, or Charleston Southern, or Vandy, okay? I would sacrifice a loss to them to beat Florida, I'm sorry, to beat Georgia, Clemson, or Bama, one of those three teams.
Okay.
Okay.
By the way, one other comment before we wrap this piece up. Isn't worst case scenario always 0-12?
Well, no. I mean, like, realistically, in terms of, you know, what's the worst this team could do? Like, for instance, for Clemson, for example. Okay, if I'm answering Clemson, best case scenario is 12-0. Okay? I'm going to predict this year, and I'm going to go 11-1 this year. I did it last year, too, just because it's hard to win. Even though your schedule's trash, it's still hard to undefeated. It's hard not to have a game where you just don't play well.
Right.
And you may not get it. You may get an unlucky break. You might get a bad call. Okay. And, you know, Clemson last year, as good as they were, had a couple of games where, right, you know, they kind of actually, you know, survive.
Right.
And so I'm going to go 11-1. Worst case scenario, if everything goes wrong, Trevor Lawrence gets hurt, you know, you've got issues, whatever it is, you got a, you know, the national championship hangover is 10-2. Okay. So that's what I mean by doing that.
Well, I automatically think worst case scenario is 0-12.
Well, no. All right. Good. Okay.
Final thing this evening, Alabama is in the eyes of the NCAA, has self-reported 16 violations, including two by the football team. Now, I'm not doing this to rack Alabama, but this is interesting what the violations were. The first, we'll do the two football violations first. The first was for an assistant coach calling a recruit twice in a week outside of a contact period. The other was for an assistant contacting recruit outside of the permissible periods. The assistant, who was not named, was not allowed to recruit off campus for 90 days. Now, that is a load of crap. I mean, that's just stupid, the whole thing with recruiting, etc. But the basketball, Mike, these are really hilarious. A group of men's basketball players were briefly declared ineligible for receiving pregame access to the field at a football game and having access to a special seating area at the game. Repayment for the value of the access was required to restore eligibility, and those involved were not allowed complimentary admission to the next football game. So that's thing number one. But here's the worst part. Five recruits were provided personalized desserts on an official visit, a violation of NCAA rule 13.6.7.9. As punishment, the number of recruiting days was reduced from 130 to 120, two for each recruit. So when these guys came in, they had a cupcake with their name on it, or a cookie, whatever. I'm a chunky guy. I want the cookie and the cupcake. But They had their name on it. And Alabama had to report this as a violation because, yeah, that's a violation. And I tell you what, it comes back down to this. We're eventually going to get to the point where the Power Five conferences are going to leave the NCAA. I really believe that's going to happen in our lifetime because the NCAA is a complete joke, an absolute joke, that this is what you're worried about. But North Carolina can set up an entire program and give degrees in African American studies to kids, and there's some of them, Mike, and this is not a joke, who can't read on a fifth grade level. But they have a degree in African American studies from North Carolina. I truly, truly hope that I live long enough to see the day where I can laugh at the NCAA as we kick their ass right on back to Indiana and tell them, go up there and monitor, I don't know, kids kickball or something, because you're terrible. I mean, they're absolutely terrible.
Well, this is why it's a joke. I mean, this is why, you know, I really think there's a possibility that these teams can get together in four super conferences of 16 teams and say, no, the NCAA, we don't need you. Your rules are stupid. They're not any way fair. Like, I can't figure out, like,
There's no consistency.
Like, exactly. And
that's the big thing. If they were consistent across the board. And by the way, how about when you tell people, all right, we're investigating you, you did blah, 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 or whatever. Let's use Missouri as an example. They had issues where the reason Missouri is in trouble is because one of their tutors went and took tests for an athlete. Missouri didn't know this was happening, okay? This one person went and took tests for athletes, and for the baseball team, one of the football players, and I forget what the other ones were, but she went and took tests for the athletes, and the NCAA found out about it. Missouri was completely upfront with them, told them, like, look, this bitch is crazy. You can check it out. They found out the bitch is crazy. That's what happened. Now, why is it that we have to wait so long on an appeal? Because, first of all, you're asking, I don't really like the idea of an appeal anyway, because you're asking the NCAA to basically appeal their own decision. So you're pleading with the NCAA to be like, yeah, you've already made this ruling, but we'd like you to be a little more kind to us and maybe not kick us in the face for the football season. It baffles me. And I'm at the point where if you're going to appeal, it should be like they do in baseball, Mike. You know how they do in baseball when they have do they call it arbitration, where they have a third party that they meet with, and the team comes in and they make their point, and the player comes in and they make their point, and this guy moderates? That's how they do it in baseball, right? Something like that?
Yep, that's right.
That's how we should do appeals. That's how it should go. You shouldn't be appealing to the NCAA. You're just appealing to their like they're going to come back and be like, you know what? We were wrong. Yeah, that's just stupid. It's just stupid. But anyway, that's my final thing for the night, Mike. Do you have anything else you want to add to the show?
That's about it. Kind of the dull season here, kind of getting ready. What do we got? 55 days to the opening?
49 days until the first game with Miami and Florida.
Okay. So I'll be here soon. Be here quick. Kind of get back in the swing of things. I miss the football picks and the.
Well, that was going to be my next thing, is we need to let everybody know we are. We're going to put our pick'em contest up there if you want to get involved. I'm hoping that the guy who does our websites will get that moving up as quickly as we can, because we want to get as many people as we can.
How about this? How about by our next show on Wednesday, I will have it all up that you can go to our site and go ahead and pay your entry fee, okay, of 25 or 20 bucks. I'm sorry, 20 bucks. To get into the contest. So I'll do all that, and you obviously have until the first game to pay and get your picks in, all that stuff there too.
Well,
so we'll start doing that as well.
That sounds good, but I'm thinking about doing Christmas in July. And you know what Christmas in July is?
What's that?
Yo ho yo. So in Christmas in July, we may give out some entries into that contest. And the way that you may get them is by sharing this fine program.
There you go.
Meaning that at some point this week, the comrade at the Pesky Poll or myself at Rob Sounds Good will tweet out the link to this podcast, or we'll share it on Facebook, one or the other. And if you share it on your timeline, we will pick out one of the people that did share it, and you will get an entry into the season-long Robin Football, Robin Comrade pick contest coming up for football season. So it's Christmas in July. With that, the show is a wrap.
Thanks for listening to the Rob and Comrade podcast. Follow Rob on Twitter at Rob Sounds Good, and follow the comrade at the Pesky Pole.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.